Today on More to Life, why you gotta be so mean? Dealing with a disrespectful, nasty, or all-around difficult person? Let's help you handle them with grace. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, why you gotta be so mean? We're talking about those disrespectful, nasty, just all-around difficult people that we all have to contend with in one way or another. We want to help you handle those folks gracefully. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. If somebody in particular popped into your head when I was given those descriptions, that's who we want to help you manage more effectively. So let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825.
And not only to handle them, although we'll certainly help you with that, but also to handle your own interior dialogue, how you handle your sense of peace when somebody's really working hard to rob it from you. And I've got even one more challenge for you. What if it's you? What if you're just in a place in your life where you're cranky and you just don't want people bothering you? Or if they would only just do it right and do it faster, you'd be fine. And you're finding yourself being the one who's being kind of mean and you're thinking, this probably isn't how God wants me to behave. But what in the world do I do about it? Because I have all these needs and nobody's meeting them. We can help you with any of this. We all fall into being mean sometimes, cranky or disrespectful or difficult in some way. Well, whether somebody's driving you nuts with all of this, or maybe you're falling into that yourself, we are here to help you today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Call up and share. Are you dealing with somebody in your life who is antagonistic, disrespectful, just plain difficult to be around? Maybe you feel like you have to walk on eggshells around that particular person for fear of provoking them. Maybe you have to deal with somebody who tends to take their anger out on you or gets defensive when you try to bring up concerns. We want to help you manage all of those folks gracefully. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And you might be wondering, well, what is that? And how could it possibly help me deal with obnoxious, difficult, antagonistic people? Well, when St. John Paul was Pope, he asked a big question. He said, if we looked at everything that God's given us, you know, creation, scripture, salvation history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and building healthy, holy relationships? And out of that question came the theology of the body.
And it's rich and deep in so many areas of every kind of relationship. And one of the most powerful insights from St. John Paul II's theology of the body, it's early, I'm good, is that every person, no matter how difficult or rude or antagonistic they are, is made in the image and likeness of God. And that's not just a nice idea. It's also a challenge. And it's a spiritual challenge and an invitation to look at people the way they were truly created and figure out how to treat them. It means we're called to look past someone's bad behavior and recognize their inherent dignity. Now, that doesn't mean we become doormats. But it does mean that we have to respond to offenses in a way that invites healing instead of greater division.
You know, practically speaking, that means staying calm when others aren't. It means praying for the grace to see the person behind the problem. And it might mean setting healthy boundaries, but doing that with love, not spite. So instead of reacting out of pride or frustration, we want to respond to offenses from a place of compassion that challenges the offender to be their best self and stands up for what a healthy Christian relationship ought to look like. Now, that doesn't come naturally. It comes from placing ourselves under God's grace. But when we make that choice to live that way, we don't just manage to avoid conflict, we become witnesses to the transforming love of Christ, even in the middle of tension, even in the face of dealing with difficult people. And that's what we want to help you do today. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. The show is titled, Why You Gotta Be So Mean? As we talk about those people who really kind of put our teeth on edge. You know, are you dealing with somebody in your life who is maybe a little or maybe more than a little antagonistic, disrespectful, difficult to be around? Could be your spouse, could be your adult kid, could be a parent, an in-law, a friend or a relation. You know, the fact is, as Lisa was pointing out, we all can have our days. And sometimes it's not just a day. Sometimes it's a way of life for some people, being provocative, being angry, being antagonistic. So if there is somebody that you feel like you've got to walk on eggshells around, or someone you have to deal with because they take their anger out on you or get defensive when you try to bring up concerns, we want to help you manage all those difficult personalities in your life. 877-573-7825.
And because all of this comes with a myriad of history and issues behind it, we want to be able to help you in particular, because there's a different way for every situation. For example, we have distant relatives where the whole family, there's two sisters and a brother, and the whole family were really affected by their dad's anger issues. And so now they're all adults, but all three of them are very cranky people, very difficult to deal with. They almost push away any kind of relationship or joy in their life, and yet the extended family doesn't want to just, you know, write them off. We all have to see each other at certain events and times, in, you know, throughout the year. And we had, all of us kind of had to come through an arc of, well, let's try to change them. Well, now what do we do about this? How do we change ourselves? How do we change the situation? All of those questions can go through your mind when you're dealing with someone who's being disrespectful or unkind or nasty or difficult in your life. And since it's particular to each of those people, well then, give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you and we bring before you those difficult, antagonistic, disrespectful, all around nasty people that we have to contend with, Lord. We know that all of us, even those difficult people, are created in your image and likeness, and that we are called to respond to offenses in love. But that is so much easier said than done. And we ask you, Lord, for the grace, the wisdom, the patience, the understanding to be able to respond to offenses in a way that doesn't allow us to be a victim or enable their sinful and destructive behavior, but rather stands up for what's good for us, invites them to be their best selves, and work for the ultimate good of the relationship. Help us to be able to respond to offenses in a way that build your kingdom rather than adding more conflict to the offense that's given. Help us to be instruments of peace and to know what that really requires of us so that we can work for the right order that lets peace reign. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of
the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, why you gotta be so mean? We're talking about people who are difficult to deal with, those disrespectful, nasty, all-around difficult people, folks who kind of take their anger out on us or maybe disregard us or dismiss us in some way. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Brittany, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Iowa.
Brittany, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
I have a question. Sometimes me and my spouse, we have disagreements, and at times, you know, he seems to get defensive and angry, and sometimes he cusses, and I don't like that. But I try to keep my calm, and sometimes he just, it's like he almost gets more frustrated that I'm calm and I guess maybe not engaging in a back and forth. And so should I just ignore it or, you know, just table the conversation until things are cooler?
Can you give me an example of a situation that would provoke him and what he would do specifically? Like, let's say the last time this happened. Can you walk me through that?
Okay, let's see. About kids, maybe like the bedtime routine, and it's not going well because it's way too late. So he's like, well, we need to do this better. We need to try getting them beds earlier, or you got to get rid of whatever. And so then I was like, well, that sounds good, but we need to work together to get that done. And he's like, well, I'm just so tired and I can't, and you know, you're home.
Okay, so what you're saying there is that he will basically say, here's a problem, and Brittany, here's what you need to do to fix it. And then when you try to say, but I could really use some help with that, then he's like, well, but here are the 10 reasons that I can't help you, and you have to do it for me. Is that basically what you're saying?
Yeah.
And have you ever put it to him that way?
No, I try to be empathetic and say, like, I understand, and, you know, I know you work a lot, and you're doing it.
No, don't. I don't want you to do that. Because it's not a valid position to take, right? We're all tired. Everybody's tired. Being a grown-up means saying, oh, I'm tired. Oh, I'm tired, too. That's what being a grown-up is, okay? Sometimes we just have to suck it up.
I have a feeling that's going to become a meme on all our social media.
Sometimes we just have to suck it up and do what life requires of us. We worked together to create these kids, and now we got to work together to raise them and parent them. And the same thing for your house and for your life and your finances and everything else.
And it's not just drudgery. It's a spiritual exercise. It's constantly coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, in my weakness, you are made great. And my weakness right now is saying, I want to, in my brain, go back to my single life where I could sit on the couch and play my games or watch my TV and be left alone when I'm tired. But we've made a choice. We've answered a calling to be in a marriage and have children. And so every loving thing, every responsible thing we do is a spiritual exercise.
So I think that rather than being empathetic, I think it's important to be compassionate and say, look, I get it. You know, you're tired and you want to get these things done. But the only way they get done is if we can be partners through it, right? I'm sorry that you feel that way, but you don't get to come to me and say, here's a problem, Brittany, you fix it. You know, we are partners. We are helpmates to each other. And if you see a problem, I'm happy to acknowledge that problem, and I'm happy to solve it with you. But I'm not going to solve it for you. So do you want to be my partner and my husband, or do you just want to be some lump that I drag around and resent because you're always coming to me with some new thing to fix? I love you too much to let that happen. I want us to be partners and really be there for each other and show up for each other. That's what I need from you. Can you do that and be my husband, or do we need to go get some help to figure that out?
Yeah, because, yes, there are certain things as a stay-at-home parent that you can do better than he can. For example, call different helpers and things that you need. So you need an electrician, you need a plumber. You can reach those people during the workday in a way that he can't. So that would have to fall to you. But everything else that doesn't have to be done from 9 to 5 or whatever his work hours are, you can be conquering together. And you are working very hard at home, raising those children. That's the most important thing that you can be doing. And you have to be partners in everything else. Part of that partnership is handling the things that don't fit into his time slot. But part of that partnership is making sure that he's taking care of his children and his house and his partnership with you.
Whatever you create together, you both have to figure out how to take care of. If one of you raises a problem, then yes, the other one has to be receptive to hearing that. But then you both have to sit down together and figure out, how are we going to solve this together? Not, how are you going to fix it for me while I sit here on my tuffet and let you serve me? That's just not what Christian marriage is about. So, Brittany, obviously, I want you to be compassionate. I want you to be sensitive. But I want you to be firm, right?
And stop
accepting that this is somehow your job to fix. You guys are partners and helpmates, and it's time to act like it. I'm going to encourage you guys to download the More to Life podcast later when it posts today. Play this for your husband. Let it be a conversation starter between the two of you. And if there's more questions you've got after that, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or reach out to us through CatholicCounselors.com. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. The show today titled, Why You Gotta Be So Mean? We're talking about dealing with those disrespectful, nasty, difficult people that we all have to manage. Whether it's kind of a one-off situation where somebody just has a bad day and they kind of lose it, you're not sure what to do about that. Or if somebody's making a habit out of being difficult, how do you manage them gracefully? 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. We'll be back with more of your calls about dealing with those difficult people on our show titled, Why You Gotta Be So Mean? When More to Life continues after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled, Why You Gotta Be So Mean? Are you dealing with somebody in your life who is kind of antagonistic, maybe a little disrespectful, just plain challenging to be around? We want to help you manage those folks more effectively and even gracefully. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
You probably had somebody pop up in your mind. Maybe even somebody you don't deal with very much anymore because they were so disrespectful and antagonistic that you've put some distance between you. But sometimes you kind of feel that prompting of the Holy Spirit that maybe you should try to heal that. Whatever the situation is, we're here to help you out today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Right now, we're talking with Foy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in North Dakota.
Foy, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Taking my call.
What's up?
The problem that I deal with, and it's difficult for me. I know well what the church teaches, and I know what it teaches about abortion and about same-sex marriage and so on and so forth. But I'm going to give you the example that happened to me over a weekend ago. Our granddaughter was being baptized, and one of the godparents for our grandchild is gay. He's not Catholic, he's gay, the godfather. And it was very difficult for me to go to that baptism and participate because I know that this is a man that's not going to help raise our children in the Catholic faith. And I wanted to say something to my children, my son specifically, but if I say something, all I do is anger them. How do you approach people in a positive way that you don't anger them? Because I would have said to him, for example, you know that this is wrong. You know that this is not in the teachings with the church. Why did you and your wife choose to go the path you went?
So let me ask you this, though. Why would you wait until the baptism to have this conversation? I guess
I did not know until we got to the baptism who the godfather was.
And why not?
He had not shared this with us at all.
Isn't that something that would just normally come up as you guys talked about the baptism plans?
Well, he shields a lot of information from us at times. He doesn't share with us what's going on. He's very protective. He is very defensive if we ask a question.
I appreciate that. So listen, Foy, I think a lot of it has to do with
some strain in the relationship is what I'm
saying. Yeah. So I think that, and I get where you're coming from. Okay. And I sympathize with your concerns. I really do. It's a lot of it, and I think that this speaks to the larger issue in the relationship. One, it's a matter of timing, right? The decision's already made at that point. The pastor's already signed off on it. You don't have any authority here, so you don't have any right to bring it up at that point because you can't affect any kind of a change. So one of the things we need to look at about bringing something up or not is whether it's going to do any good at this point to bring it up. If you were going to have this conversation, it needed to happen way before the baptism. And because you couldn't have the conversation before the baptism, because your relationship is strained, then the issue here is really about how do we strengthen our relationship with our son and his wife.
Now, I want to be very clear here. You want to focus on strengthening your relationship with your son and, yes, his wife. Do not do what so many people with grandchildren try to do, which is jump a generation and want to be part of the child's life and influence their faith life. That will only come with healing the relationship with your son.
So based on the way you phrase it, and again, I sympathize with your concerns, and I think this is a conversation that should have happened, but the way you presented it, okay, I'm getting that you unintentionally come off as antagonistic or kind of accusatory because you feel like you raised your son and you raised in the faith and that he should know these things, and why is he choosing to do whatever, right? And when we're approaching adult kids, we have to be very careful about not telling them, but rather asking. So, for example, if you could have had this question, a conversation beforehand, being able to say, well, you know, I understand that you have this Christian witness. How do you feel that he would be able to help you raise our grandson in the faith? Like, what is it about this person that you think is a good example of a Christian witness? By the way, if the person isn't Catholic, it's not a godparent. They're a Christian witness,
right?
And really kind of approaching it that way. You know, what kind of questions? What kind of conversations have you had with the pastor about this? You know, do you really feel like he would be a good example? You know, but asking questions that and being genuinely curious, not accusatory. Like, because we can ask a question, what were you thinking when you did that? You know, which is an accusatory question. But the only way to get somebody to open up to us is by being curious, open, accepting, and loving. Now, that doesn't mean tolerating everything they do or approving of everything they do. What it means is that it challenges the way that we ask questions so that it allows people to open up to us. If we're antagonistic, if we're accusatory, if we're not really interested in what they have to say, but we're just asking so we can prove our point, then people shut down and they drive a wedge between us and them. And that sounds like what's happened in your relationship with your son. You know, your heart's in the right place. You've got the right, I understand your concerns. I completely sympathize with them. But the way you're approaching him is actually preventing the Holy Spirit from working through you to touch his heart and draw him closer to the Lord through you. And so I really want you to look hard at your approach. To that end, I'm going to really encourage you to pick up a copy of our book, because we're running out of time here, How to Have Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Her Adult Sons and Daughters. Again, that's How to Have Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Her Adult Sons and Daughters. It's really about how can we develop the kind of relationship with our adult kids, especially when they're making choices that we don't appreciate, where they're fallen away from the faith. How do we engage them in ways that lets them open their hearts to us and allows the Holy Spirit to work through us so that we can bring them into deeper relationship with God, with the church, and with the truth? And it's all about how to approach our kids without just approving of everything they do and saying, oh, yes, you're wonderful, but really being able to address concerns and fears and worries about the choices they're making in ways that make them receptive. Again, How to Have Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. You can pick it up at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. But your heart's in the right place, Foy, but you need to work on your approach before you drive your son completely away and he shuts the door to any of these conversations that you need and want to have with him. Thanks for the call.
The Wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You remember the time I said on the air, go to confession. And when you're done, go out and have a big ice cream soda. Celebrate. And a man wrote to me, he says, you know, I hadn't gone to confession in 30 years. Do you mind if I went and had a pizza? I said, oh, have 20 pizzas.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What are some of the common temptations against prayer? The Catechism claims that the most common yet hidden temptation is lack of faith, which is expressed not so much in a declaration of disbelief as our actual preferences. For instance, when we begin to pray, a thousand labors or cares vie for priority. This is a moment of truth for our heart. What is our heart's true love? Do we call on the Lord just as a last resort, or do we presumptuously call on him as an ally? In each case, the Catechism says, we have not acquired the disposition of the humble heart, which remembers the Lord's words, apart from me, you can do nothing. A presumptuous heart may experience the temptation of acidia, defined as spiritual depression due to lax ascetical practice, decreasing vigilance, and carelessness of heart. As Jesus chastised his sleeping apostles in Gethsemane, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. In sports, teams win or lose not only because of the skills of their players, but also how well the players work together. The players on winning teams support and encourage one another, even in the toughest fight. Marriage is the same way. Couples who tackle marital conflicts with a sense of teamwork do better than couples who enter conflict ready to battle one another. In fact, research finds that happy couples have 5 positive interactions for every negative interaction, even during conflicts. That doesn't mean these couples avoid tough issues or that they aren't honest and direct with one another. But even in difficult conversations, these couples go out of their way to make sure that their spouse feels loved and cared for. They offer words of encouragement and affirmation. They work to regulate their own emotional temperature. They take breaks to refocus the conversation. And they cultivate sympathy for their spouse's position, even when they disagree with it. In short, their priority isn't to win. Instead, it's solving the problem in a way that respects their spouse and strengthens their marriage. For more tips about managing marital conflict, read our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Or for more personalized, faith-filled help, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the show is titled, Why You Gotta Be So Mean? Talking about those difficult to be around, antagonistic, disrespectful people who, you know, just kind of take their anger or frustration or irritation out on us, who are defensive or dismissive. You know who I mean. Those folks are just not a lot of fun to be around.
And at the very least.
Yeah, and sometimes that person can be really close to you, like your spouse or one of your adult kids or a parent, for example. Sometimes it's somebody that you have to deal with occasionally. But when you think about it, kind of makes you, well, make the face that I'm making right now as I'm talking. You can't see it.
Radio. Yeah,
but it's on the radio. But you get what I'm talking about, because you're probably making that face too as you think about that person. Mm-hmm. Well, if so, give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Who's up next?
We're talking now with Kay, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Kay. What can we do for you?
Hi. My situation is that my mom has dementia, and my brother, I have one brother and one sister, and my brother and I are sharing in her care. And we cannot get our sister to willingly participate. My brother lives with my mom. He's a bachelor, and he lives with her. And when he goes to work, I'm there with her all day. And the only time we can get my sister to come is basically when we stand on our head and scream or, you know, just have a desperate situation, or one of us wants to go, needs a break, and goes on vacation.
And where does she live? And does she have an excuse for this? Or
she lives about 45 minutes away. We're in the, you know, D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, so it's drivable. It's an hour.
Definitely,
maybe.
Yeah.
I live 15 minutes away, so I can get there very easily. She just said she's busy, or that she has work, she just has priorities. She's not making the contribution.
So let me ask you this, because when somebody says they're busy, that's a superficial way of saying I've got issues with this person. So what are her issues here in terms of, you know, was there tension between her and your mom? Is there issues between her and you and your brother? Like what's the relationship problem here?
I don't know that there was anything underlying. It just seems that in this point in her life, she just figures we have it covered. She figures my brother lives with her, he's right there, and I'm right nearby, and I'm not working anymore, so we have it covered. And
okay,
so weeks can go by, and she has no contact. She doesn't even call to check in on any of us.
Okay. And so how does it... when you say that you do get her involved, how does that actually happen then?
If one of us is going away or goes on vacation, then we tell her that we're desperate and we need help for that coverage of, you know, a week or 5 or 6 days, and then she will come.
Okay.
So if my brother goes away, she'll do 3 days. I'll do 4 days. That kind of thing.
So she'll never volunteer.
Never.
But if you tell her you need help, then she'll come.
Yes, only when we're desperate.
So let me ask: have you ever asked her when you weren't desperate, and she just blows you off, or what?
We don't even ask, because it's for me, it's like a gut punch when she just
Why?
Won't
why come. Is it a gut punch?
I just feel like I don't matter, and I also feel like she's not respecting my mom. You know, that to help care. She wants us to.
Have you ever told her that you feel like she doesn't care about you? Whenever she just.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't.
So make it. I need you to be more direct with her. So, you know, I don't know if there's a deeper issue here or not, and I think you should ask about that. Because when people, generally speaking, when somebody says, I'm too busy, what that means is this relationship is fraught. It's too much.
Something went on, and something's difficult now.
And I'm not saying that you can fix that or that you should try to fix it, but sometimes acknowledging it makes a big difference. It greases the wheels. It says at least this person cares enough that they want to understand what my situation actually is. So my suspicion is that your sister, in part, is quote unquote busy because there's a lot of emotional stuff that she doesn't want to have to deal with there. And if you would call that out and say, look, you can even say, you know, I was talking to somebody about this, and they said to me that's a lot of times when people say they're busy, what they really mean is there's a lot of emotional stuff here that I don't want to have to deal with. Either relationship stuff or just emotional stuff, and just asking her, you know, is there something going on here? That, I mean, I can't fix it, but I'd like to at least know about it because I do love you and I care about you, and I'd like to understand what's behind all this. Then go into saying, on top of this, you know, I know that you're busy and I know that there's stuff, but I really do feel like you don't care about me or about your brother. It really hurts me. And every time, you know, I think about the fact that you're not helping out, it's a gut punch. And I really just need your help more. So then, Kay, you need to be more direct and say, so we need to figure out, you know, when we need you to come around more. So you pick a day. I need you to take every Thursday because we're burned out and we need your help on that day, or you know, but you need to be direct and insist that I need you here because she shows up whenever there's a quote-unquote good reason for you to ask. You need to give yourself and your brother permission to ask, not just when there's an urgent need, but when you just need it to happen, you know. Even if, and I think, you know, you're, how do I put it? You're trying to be understanding. And, you know what, this actually goes to our previous caller,
yeah,
too.
With our conversation, you know, with Brittany, it really does.
In trying to be understanding, you're setting yourself and her up for
big
tension.
Big failure.
Because
tension.
You're not being honest about what you really need here and how it feels to be treated the way you're being treated. And we're allowed to do that as Christians. We it's not a matter of being mean to the person. It's not a matter of saying my needs matter more than yours. It's a matter of saying our needs matter. And we both are people that deserve to be loved and respected. And the way you're behaving isn't. And I just need it to change.
And
so here's what I need exactly.
And mom's still a human being who needs a relationship with you, whether she can verbally tell you she recognizes you or not. She needs to have a relationship with her daughter. And you need that with her, too. And we need to figure this out. And the three of us need to sit down and come up with a schedule where you are actually actively participating and you and your brother decide ahead of time. How often do you really need her there? Do you want her to take one day a week, like a Thursday in the evening or whatever the time is she has off? If she's a working mom and she's busy, is it one Saturday a month? But she needs to have it on the schedule. Because the one thing you can't do for somebody who has a job and perhaps has a family of their own is just pop in and say, hey, you know, I'm texting you to tell you I need you to take care of mom on Saturday. Well, if she's taking the kids to 18 different practices, she can't just do that. She needs it on the schedule ahead of time. And you guys really need to be very clear on what that schedule is going to be.
Don't ask her what she's willing to do.
Truly overwhelmed, if it's coming from that place where she's overwhelmed in her life and she thinks you and your brother, because you're not working, aren't, she needs the time to actually look at it and see when she can fit this in. But you have to be really clear about what you need, how you feel about this. Do not yell. Do not scream. Do not fight about this. just truly express how you're feeling and what you need.
But begin by saying, hey, look, I really feel like there's more to it than just that you're busy. I get that you're busy. Everybody's busy. It's like I was saying with Brittany before. Everybody's tired, too. Being an adult means being busy and being tired until we die. That is just being a grown-up. So being busy is not an excuse. There's always something underneath that busy that I don't like, that I don't want to admit. So I just say I'm busy, and everybody just allows me to get away with that. So, you know, gently ask, what's really going on here? You know, what's when somebody says they're busy, there's always some emotional stuff underneath there that they don't want to deal with. So what's going on, sister? Start there, then be clear about what your needs really are, and don't take no for an answer. Then if that's not successful, call us back here. We'll talk about what to do next. But that's where you need to start, you know, by being a little bit more clear about what you need and why you need it and how it feels that your sister's not coming through. Thanks for the call, Kay. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here. 877-573-7825. I mean, I think one of the themes that's coming out of the show so far is that in dealing with difficult people, a lot of times we, in our efforts to not pour gas in the fire, just don't do anything. We don't set a boundary. We don't say the thing that we need to say. We don't communicate our need. We just try to accommodate that person. And that's what they're counting on, by the way. That's why they're difficult. They know that if they put up resistance, you'll back down. And it works for them. So why should they change? So we as Christians need to learn how to charitably stand up to that and say, hey, look, I get it. You're busy, or you're tired, or whatever. But we all are, and that's not an excuse for doing what's good and what's right and what I need you to do. So I acknowledge that issue that you raised. Let's figure out a solution together and make this work. But I'm not going to accept that as an answer for not doing the thing you need to do.
Now, if you're hearing what we're saying, and you're thinking of the thousand things that will not go over well about that, and the entanglement, and the anger, and the pushback, well then, by all means, give us a call. Let's help you work that out and get ahead of it, because God wants you to change this situation. He's inviting you to be your best self and to call them to be their best self and to bring His grace into the situation you're thinking about. Give us a call right now on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
But, you know, we get a lot of calls and even questions from people who will talk about this kind of bickering, meanness, lack of support happening in their families, you know, with their kids. The siblings bicker with each other. Kids don't want to help out. Spouses don't want to be partners. And that's one of the reasons we created Catholic Home. That's spelled Catholic H-O-M, and it stands for Households on Mission. And it's not just another parenting resource. It's a game changer for Catholic families. In a partnership with Georgetown University, we studied Catholic families who created uncommonly close, satisfying family relationships and, this is the kicker, successfully raised all their kids to be faithful Catholic adults. Turns out they practice certain things in their families that enable them to get along better and raise those godly kids, and we want to share their secrets with you. With Catholic Home, you'll get daily expert parent coaching to help you feel confident in your Catholic parenting. You can talk to Lisa and myself every day if you like, or one of our parenting coaches on the Catholic Home app to get the support you need to handle behavior problems, strengthen your family's prayer life, and build a more loving, joyful, and connected home. In addition to the coaching, there are tons of creative resources like monthly downloadable activities that make living the faith at home simple and fun. Our exclusive Momfidence, Bedatitudes, and Catholic Home podcasts for inspiration and encouragement. Tons of parenting tip videos, monthly live stream events. In fact, tomorrow evening, Tuesday the 22nd, at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, Lisa and I are hosting one of our monthly Catholic Home Live Q&As where folks can get on and ask questions, share successes, meet other families just like them who are dealing with these kinds of issues. We want to support you in your journey. You can get started with 2 months free when you choose the annual plan for just $149, or you can pay month to month for $14.95 a month. One subscription covers both parents and gives your whole family access to all the activities and coaching. And with Catholic Home, you don't have to feel overwhelmed or alone anymore. We're here to help you build the Catholic family life you've been longing for. So subscribe today wherever you get your apps and become part of the Catholic Home community. That's Catholic H-O-M. Households on Mission. With that, we got to go to break, but as we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15.
See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another.
Now, this is a challenging passage, because when we read this, we think what St. Paul is saying is, see that you're always nice to each other. That's different from doing good. When we're talking about doing good for one another, what that means is loving them, right? And then what does loving mean? Well, loving means working for their ultimate good. So if somebody is behaving badly in a relationship, we have a responsibility to charitably invite them to be better. To say, hey, look, I'm sure you don't mean this, but when you do thus and such, it feels really hurtful. It feels really disrespectful. It feels really whatever. And I need to figure out a better way for us to handle this moving forward. Do you see what I did there? I didn't accuse that person. I didn't attack that person. I didn't shame that person. I just said, look, I'm sure you don't mean anything by it, but when you do that, it really hurts, or it feels disrespectful, or it really disappoints me, or it frustrates me. And I need us to figure out how we can handle this better in the future. That's what doing good means in the face of an offense. Not tolerating it, not avoiding it, not seething with resentment about it, and not pouring gas in the fire, but rather extending an invitation for that person to be better, and for the two of you to work together to create a better, stronger, healthier relationship. Because that's what the theology of the body teaches us, is what building the kingdom of God is all about. Healing the damage that sin tries to do to all of our relationships. And with that, we're continuing to take your calls on our show today titled, Why You Gotta Be So Mean? As we discuss dealing with disrespectful, nasty, or all-around difficult people. 877-573-7825.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled, Why You Gotta Be So Mean? As we talk about dealing with those disrespectful, nasty, or all-around difficult people.
Let's talk now with Courtney, who's listening to EWTN Radio in San Antonio on Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hey, Courtney, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, thank you so much.
What's your question?
Hi, yes, so I have a friend. I'll call her Sally. And it seems like when we talk, anytime I explain something to her, she's very critical and judgmental, but I don't have the nerve to tell her that she comes across as critical and judgmental. So instead, I've distanced myself from her. So I'll give you an example. If I, in talking to her, she'll say, well, you used to go to Bible study a lot, and you used to go to prayer group a lot, and you don't do those things anymore. But I have two jobs and three kids. So I go to my mass every week, and I have a daily prayer life, but I don't do all the things I used to do. And then she's critical of that, but she's retired, you know, and has a different stage of life. So I have a really hard time confronting people.
Okay, well, let me before we even talk about the confrontation part of it, let me address something else that I think is really important.
And I think it's so important that you pointed out that the two of you are in very different stages of life, and those stages are requiring different things to be holy women of God.
So I got a news flash for all the parents out there, starting with you, Courtney. So serving your domestic church is serving the church. We have a tendency to think that, oh, parenting and, you know, the work that it takes to build a good marriage and family life, we feel like that's selfish because it just benefits us. That is not what the church teaches.
At all.
Church teaches that the most important ministry we can do is build a strong marriage and family life and a strong domestic church life. So being there for your kids is serving the church. And I understand, and a lot of people don't think that counts, but in fact it does. In fact, we Lisa did a book, the Corporate Works of Mommy, which really talks all about all the spiritual opportunities and opportunities for service that happen in the home by living out the corporal and spiritual works of mercy in our daily marriage and family life.
And we actually talk about it on our Catholic HOM app, Households on Mission app, all the time, because it is so significant to not only the well-being of our own spiritual lives, our family's spiritual lives, but the greater church at large. Now, your friend, dear old Sally here, who's in a different stage of life, she's retired, she has no children at home, she doesn't even have a job if she's retired, her calling, according to the book of Titus 2, is to work for the good of the church in other ways, to alleviate some of the weight that is on younger moms.
To be a spiritual mother to other people.
Very much so. So she's looking through the eyes of, hey, I want Courtney back in my life. I want to spend more time with her, and I want her to have this great spiritual life that I have, and I'm going to get on her case about it, because that means I'll have somebody around a Bible study again, and I think I'm doing good for her. She's missing out on what your calling is for these years.
You know, funny, a little while ago on the Catholic Home app, again, that's Catholic, H-O-M stands for Households on Mission, we did a poll of our members, and it was a trick question, but we didn't let that on. It was true or false. My marriage, the needs of my marriage and family stopped me from serving the church the way I wish I could. 80% of the people said that was true. Now, the reason we asked that question was to set up the discussion that serving your domestic church is actually serving the church, according to the church. And that's a newsflash for a lot of people. So the reason I wanted to give you that background, Courtney, is because the next time you see Sally and she gives you a hard time about not showing up for that Bible study or whatever, I think it's important for you to be able to say, you know, we're in different stages of life, and I'm really glad that you're able to exercise your spiritual motherhood by participating in those things and building up the body of Christ in that way. In the stage of life I'm in, I'm building up the body of Christ by serving my domestic church. And serving my domestic church is serving the church. And it's the primary place that I'm working out my holiness every day.
Working out my holiness, going into a deeper prayer life as I rely on God, going into a deeper prayer life as I teach my family how to pray, how I teach them how to choose more virtuous choices than the ones we all kind of go to if we're not led by a good and godly parent. All of these things are you working out your holiness and helping your family work out there.
And you can say, you know, I really do appreciate your concern, and I agree with you. We all need to make sure that we're encouraging each other and doing all those spiritual practices that help us draw closer to God. But these are the practices that God's calling me to now. And I'm glad that you're responding to the practices God is calling you to. But we're both building up the body of Christ in our own ways. And if she pushes you back on that and says, oh, no, well, that's you're just taking care of yourself by being your own selfish needs by doing that, you can just say, well, that's not what the church teaches. The church teaches that by me serving my domestic church and building a stronger marriage and family life, I'm building up the body of Christ. And that's what I'm doing. I'm living out my sacrament, and I'm going to keep doing that. And thank you very much.
So and when I'm at your stage of life, I will probably be much more involved in other things at church, because I will not have these people at home to take care of and raise and teach the faith to.
So if any of that sounds appealing to you, that perspective, and you'd like to dive a little bit deeper into understanding how building your domestic church actually is serving the church, I really encourage you to become a subscriber to the Catholic Home Community. That's Catholic HOM, stands for Households on Mission. Download it wherever you get your apps and become part of the community so that we can support you every day in discovering how doing the important work of building up a strong marriage and family life and raising the next generation of godly kids is serving the church. Check it out, Courtney. Thanks so much for the call. And listeners, if you are struggling to deal with a difficult person in your life and you're looking for faithful ways to respond, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can connect you with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. Check it out, CatholicCounselors.com, and get out there and celebrate the life God wants for you.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.